I don't know about you, but I am tired of all the political discord in our country. I said discord, not discourse. There is no discourse. There's shouting, there's blaming, there's hatred, and it's mind-boggling. We have a two-party system, from my viewpoint, is very broken, and yet we're called to vote and to participate, and it's a mess. Well, the good news is actually Jesus had to deal with the exact same situation. Now, hopefully that's a little reassuring. He had to deal with it too. And just as in Jesus' day, there was really a very small minority of truly faithful Jews, maybe today we can say there's really only a minority of truly faithful Christians, really, because Jesus finds himself in the minority in the story today. And so we have the two political parties of his day. They were also the religious parties. They were the same thing, religious, political. The two parties, we have the Herodians and the Sadducees. We might call them, let's say, conservatives, because they wanted to have good relationships with Rome. And so Jesus is a threat to that because of what he's doing. And then we have the Pharisees and the scribes, who were maybe a little bit more progressive in some ways, but again, they too don't like Jesus because he is challenging their authority. So just as today we have two political parties that are going after what is really true and sacred, Jesus had the same problem, and he had to deal with it. Now the Herodians and the Pharisees tried to trip him up. They asked him a question, thinking he'd either say this or that, and he'd be in trouble with one or the other parties. So they asked him, should we pay the temple tax? Now, the Herodians wanted one answer. They wanted Jesus to say yes, so that everything could be smoothed over with Rome. And the Pharisees were probably thinking, I hope he says no, because we don't like Rome. We don't like their authority, totalitarianism. They don't like that. And so they were hoping that Jesus would be on their side. And we have the same problem today. You know, both political parties are trying to reach out to Christians and say, hey, we're the better Christian party. But Jesus says to both of those political parties, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. You get it? You're both wrong. And so what does he say? He answers their question by saying, show me the coin. Whose head is on the coin? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. A very clever way of telling both parties, you're both wrong, you really don't know the truth, and if you ever want to change and know the truth, you'll totally change your political views. Same as today. And so Jesus says to them, it's all about God. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. Well, can anybody tell me what doesn't belong to God? What doesn't belong to God? And yet again, in our political system, with all this fighting, it's if, well, we got to prove that we're on the side of God. And as Lincoln said, you know, I don't care if I'm on the side of God. I care if God is supporting me, or rather that he's on the side of God, supporting what God wants. And do we think that way? Do we think that way, or do we get so caught up in our political system that we think that's where it's at, when Jesus is saying that's not where it's at? Everything belongs to God. Everything. There is nothing that we can do, nothing that we have, that doesn't belong to God. And so if we want to be good Christians, that has to be our focal point, not what one political party says over the other. And incidentally, in case you're not sure about it, there are lots of political parties out there, not just two. So if you really want to be in good conscience when you vote, you got to make sure you know what all the parties are proclaiming, not just the Democrats and the Republicans. But again, we have a two-party system that wants to tell us how to be good Christians. Well, that's the wrong way around. we as Christians are supposed to be telling both political parties, you're wrong in this way, in that way. Yeah, you're right in this way and that way, but you're also wrong, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He said to the Herodians and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees, you are wrong on this issue. And if they're wrong on this issue, they're probably wrong on a lot of other issues. But he stood up to them. And ultimately, as we know, because he did that, because he knew what image was stamped on him, he went to his death. Do we know what image is stamped on us? It's not Caesar. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Donald Trump. It's no earthly person. It's Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is stamped onto us, then we, like Jesus, have to say to the world, this is right and this is wrong. And not to collude, not to compromise, but to be very clear that we are here as citizens of heaven. Again, that's what Paul says. We are citizens of heaven, first and last. When we die, our American passports mean absolutely nothing. But our passport that we get from heaven, that stamp that we receive through baptism of Jesus Christ, that means everything. So when we talk politics as Christians, and I don't hear a lot of this, we're always supposed to say, well, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe, and not just this is what I believe, but this is what I do as a Christian, which again is going to bring me into conflict with every political party that's out there and every other person if I more and more live the gospel message that Jesus has given to us. But our society, I believe, has gotten so far away from the principles, the foundations of our Christian faith, that I don't see much good coming out of it. I see the good coming out of it when people say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have been stamped with His image. I am called not to be a good citizen of this country or a good Republican or Democrat. I'm called to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. And I've said this again and again. If we are truly good citizens of heaven, we will be good citizens of this country. But you can be a very good citizen of this country and a very bad citizen of heaven. We cannot conflate the two. Jesus' message was a radical one. The authorities of the day, the right and the left, the political parties, didn't like his message at all. If we find that we are fitting in, then maybe we need to step back and ask ourselves, is it really Jesus who is stamped on me in baptism, or is it some other earthly way of thinking and doing that I have adopted, thinking that Jesus would be okay with it? But we're called to be radical as Jesus was radical, to really, and say it loud and clear, as he did to the Herodians and to the Pharisees, no, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. You just don't get it. Everything belongs to God. Nothing belongs to me. Nothing belongs to any of you. It all belongs to God. And if that's true, do I live my life that way? Or do I hold on to things, whatever they may be, other people, possessions, career, houses, whatever? Do I hold on to them thinking it's mine? It's not mine. It's not. It has been entrusted to me by God to be used for the building up of the kingdom of God, but not so that I can have my own little political party or my own little kingdom, but rather so I can be a better citizen of God's kingdom. Now, I think we all know that intellectually, but when push comes to shove, do we live it? And I'm not talking about posting on Facebook or Twitter or all that stuff, but do we live what we are supposed to believe or what we say we believe? Do we really live it? So that we don't say, no, I'm not going to help that person or give my life for this or that, but rather it's all on the table. And just as God could use King Cyrus, the Persian, for his purposes, So he can also use us, if we are willing, to be his servants and to bring Christ constantly into the world. And that's what we're called to do. Not to sit back and say, well, that's the way it is, I got to participate in it, but rather say, no, it can be different. It can be better. It can be wonderful. But it means that I, as an individual Christian, have to step forward and truly talk the talk, and even more importantly, walk the walk. Because I think you know as well as I do, things will just get worse and worse and worse as long as Christians are not engaged in saying, as Jesus said, the real answer is God, not a political party, not money, not power, not authority, but Jesus Christ. That is radical. And believe me, the more we promote that and live that, we will be hated, appropriately so. The Savior was hated and killed. So if we're living too comfortably, maybe we're not living well enough the gospel message that Jesus gives us. So we have this beautiful reading today, very clear. We stand up to authority. We stand up to those who would pervert the way of God. And the Herodians and the Sadducees thought they knew what God wanted and were doing it. The Pharisees, scribes thought they knew what God wanted and were doing it. But as Jesus says, they both got it wrong. Do we have the courage and the conviction to be like Jesus? Because that's who we're called to be. He is stamped on us in baptism. It is his image, not the image of Caesar or anyone else, but it is his image that is stamped on us. And because he has given us great authority and power, and he has, we can change the world. We can. But that's our choice. Do I go with the flow, or do I become a radical like Jesus? And to truly say it's all about God, everything, everything I eat, everything I drink when I'm sleeping, what I buy, do I think that way so that I can truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ? But that's our call. So as we get closer to elections, and I know people don't listen. We don't listen because we're inundated with information. But if you want to listen directly to Christ and open the Bible, just open it and read it. Because that's the voice of God speaking to us and saying, I have chosen you out of all these other people to be set apart to show my love in the world, what I want in the world. That's our call. So as we get closer to the election, bring out the Bible, put the newspaper away, turn off the TV and the computer, and read what Jesus calls us to be. Whoever's in power, we're called to be his disciples first and last.